Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, powered by the SID Media. Jabulile, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, my sister. Long time no speak.
It's been a while, yes.
Yeah. The young people say it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Well, lovely to have young people around. They teach us many things that we don't know about.
And they keep us on our toes.
Yeah. Now, we're talking about bouncing back from failure, which I think is quite an important subject, because in life, we're not going to always succeed. At some point in life, we're not going to be able to make it. And so pursuing our goals often go hand in hand with experiencing challenges and also failure. And failure, as such, is an important part of the human experience, albeit one we would rather avoid altogether. And so many young people recently received their matric results in South Africa in particular, not to mention O-level results in other parts of our region. While many are celebrating their success, some are facing less than ideal results. And we want to talk about that reality and how we get past that. And this is also will be beneficial and useful conversation for those whose 2023 didn't quite pan out as they had hoped and planned. And so how do we then get past the disappointment of failure? And so we do hope that after this conversation, we would at least have been able to understand and be equipped in as far as that area is concerned. So, Jabulile, what is the importance of developing a personal relationship with God?
Yeah, so I think it's actually the crux of everything else. I think it's a make or break. If you do not get that right, chances are you may fail in every other thing. And I say this because I have always believed, and I was raised to believe, that from even your identity, the start of it, or you know, its significance is rooted in God. So if you are in God and you understand who you are first in Christ as an individual, it's then quite easy for you to define and refine who you are as a wife, as a friend, as a cousin, as a husband, as a CEO, many other things. But you first need to be clear about your worth and your value in relation to your Creator, because your giftings, your talents, if you like, your persona and all other capabilities you have come from Him. And I always say that God capacitates us quite deliberately, because He somehow has a much more bigger idea of who we are, what we're capable of, and what we're pretty much good at. And He matches it quite nicely. So if you can understand how, if I could say, He has crafted you,
it's
easy to then say, I know I can fit into here and I know I cannot fit into here, which can bring a lot of peace of mind for you.
Beautiful. And I think as we have just dealt with that, because I think you rightly said that it's definitely the crux of the matter, because we're going to be going through this life and there are certain things that are going to happen that are less than ideal for what we definitely plan. So how do we then, you know, get past disappointment or failure?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I always say that I'm yet to meet a person who is content with learning from failures or content with moving beyond disappointments. Whether you meet an elderly person, you chat to them, or a young person, even myself, disappointments, failures, they really do get to you. They are hurtful, and they have a way of really making you distraught and you know, sort of bringing some questions of doubt and self-worth and so forth. And I think this is normal, because then it shows that you are human and that there are certain elements and forces that must operate and that often do operate outside of who you are, like the power of God and the fact that He is in charge ultimately, no matter what you do. And I think it always helps us understand that all we ever need to do at any given point in life is to always try our best. So that is our responsibility. That, for that part, we must be accountable, doing the best we can in terms of doing whatever is required of us. But anything else beyond that is out of our control, right? It's a responsibility perhaps that lies with a system or something else that really is beyond you. So I think being able to deal with failures and disappointment, as much as it's a constant balancing act, I call it a constant balancing act because you can never say, oh, I'm so good at dealing with disappointments. Each time they happen, I'm okay and content with it. You may say that, but deep down, we all get into our private spaces and we are sad, we cry, or we want to hit a wall because it has really hit us.
Yeah.
So I always tell young people, sometimes even the elderly folks when I talk to them, I always tell them, sometimes having a sense of clarity in terms of God always being in control and that Him being the author and finisher of our faith and Him being the central and all-encompassing influence in our lives gives you peace, not because this time you got it right or things are fine. Even in the disappointment or the weight or the failure, the peace of knowing that, but ultimately I do not control my own life. I am not even in charge of it, gives you the peace to understand, not to be okay with, just to understand that our minds can think as far as so little, not really as far as God can, as the scriptures remind.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always my go-to scripture, by the way. In fact, every time I literally live on that scripture as a mantra to say that our plans are not as I'm paraphrasing it. God's plans are not, so our plans are not God's plans, right? And that we should lean on God's understanding, because whatever we may be seeing and understanding, there's always something bigger or a bigger picture that we are not privy to. So for me, it's about peace. Peace,
yes.
In the sense that, first of all, it's a biblical fundamental that teaches us the attitude of patience, not because everything is correct or fine, but peace to know that in time, perhaps it will, because again, the scripture reminds us that He cannot give you something that you cannot handle. It's just that inconvenience interim of a disappointment or a failure. But I think it also says a lot about how much you trust God. Do you think He'll keep on failing you forever and hence you want to kill yourself, or you really think it's over? Or do you believe that, well, it didn't work out now, I probably need to just, you know, step back a bit, go back to the drawing board and maybe increase my faith and be patient, because that's a litmus test of character as well.
Yeah. You know, Jabulile, as you're speaking, I don't know how a person would then face a possibility of failure or disappointment. I'm saying this because, you know, as you are engaged in a particular activity, you don't think about failure. You don't think about disappointment. You know, you are excited and you're going for it, and you know that, you know what, this is going to work, I'm going for it, etc. And so disappointment or failure really catches one by surprise, to be honest, because it's not something that you want to think about. And so do we plan for a disappointment? I'm not sure if we can. At the same time, because I'm trying to think, how is it that we can actually face it in a better way? Because, you know, a failure just springs up and it pops up in an ugly way in front of you. And with young people facing a heartbreak for the first time, it can be daunting. Because, I mean, I remember when I had my first heartbreak as a teenager. Man, there's nothing like it. You don't know what to do with this thing. So do we then prepare for some kind of failure in the future? Because we don't think about it. And if we prepare for that and we think about it, would it not distract us from planning to succeed, as it were?
So I think it's important to, I mean, heartbreak, think of loss, for example. I mean, retrenchment or failure, maybe of a matric exam or disappointment of just certain things not aligning as you expect them to. And people always talk about, especially in relationships, people talk about how you have to always not have expectations, which in a way I do not entirely agree with, because I think a work ethic or an ethos as a culture of expecting more and of constantly expecting excellence, I think is good.
Yeah.
And I will tell you the reason why, because I think Excellence is a biblical principle. I think God wants us to be excellent. I think even our very work ethic is rooted in that. So to expect greatness, great, past, good is okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, we should aspire for that on a daily basis. But sometimes I think God allows certain situations to actually prevail in our lives. And this sounds so cliche and at the same time confusing, but I must tell you that 80% of the time I believe in it because I've practically also seen it in my life and the lives of others, where God will allow a certain setback specifically because perhaps he's trying to work on your character. He's trying to refine and define certain elements about your personality, or maybe he's trying to prepare you for the actual excellence or dream or outcome that you were hoping for initially, but you thought you were ready for and you were not. So he's trying to actually prepare the environment for you, or even you for the environment. Sometimes life is not always like a hand and what glove kind of situation where everything just goes well together, you know, first time. Sometimes you've got to try more because there's a wisdom and I think also just a culture of resilience that I think God deliberately allows. Imagine if we were to get everything right all the time, we probably would have spoiled brats. We probably wouldn't be grateful for anything. We would always expect people to give us everything. And I mean, life has never been like that for anybody. Life is not like that. And I think it's important that the piece I spoke about earlier, it's important that we learn to rest our expectations on God. And this is why I always say it's so problematic to always pray and say, let your will be done. It's probably so, so difficult to say those words. But I suppose to some extent, they again remind us of the discipline and reliance we ought to have in the one who is the ultimate sort of rainmaker, if I can put it that way. Because then you have the peace to settle in the idea that he knows best and that what did not happen is because perhaps it should not have happened at that time. Not that it will never happen, but perhaps it just wasn't the time. And if it were to never happen, you again trust him enough to know better to perhaps substitute it with something even greater. And this is the dichotomy of faith, I think, for us as Christians. Very confusing, sometimes seems quite unfair, but it's like a school we never graduate from. You are constantly learning to trust. And when you think you are so good at trusting him, he hits you with an even greater disappointment, perhaps because he sees so much in you that he feels the need to stretch it and to get you to a level where you really are the greatest version of yourself, even though that version takes quite a stringent sense of making or season of making.
Now, I don't know then, because I'm thinking of excellence, you know, on the one side, because you know, as you are talking, because it sounds as though you know, somebody must at some point know that you know, God may prepare you for certain things and things may not work, etc., etc., which means that perhaps at the back of my mind, as I am trying to case in point study for this matric examination, should I then at the back of my mind be asking myself, but what if I don't make it? Would that not dampen my spirit of actually pushing as best as I can? Because now I've got this mind that says, what if I don't make it? What will I do? Or I'm pitching an idea and I'm thinking that, you know what, this is a great and excellent idea. This is a brilliant business deal, etc. And I go for it with, I try to prepare the presentation to the best of my ability. Now, if I introduce the element of a possibility of not succeeding, what does that do to my pursuit of excellence?
I think it just reminds you that you're human.
Okay.
We always suffer a lot from doubt, self-doubt, and this imposter syndrome of who do I think I am? I don't deserve this. I mean, did I even think this would work? I must have been crazy. But we should also remember what the scripture reminds us to be. In fact, it specifically tells us that we were not given a timid spirit. In fact, we were given a sound mind. Sound mind is clarity. Sound mind is optimum ability to make decisions that are good, that are clear, that are progressive, that have direction. It's a sound mind. And this comes from the Bible. But at the same time, it also teaches us in the book of Proverbs that present your plans to God with prayer and supplication. Present all your plans to God and he will set your paths straight. So it's two things, right? You learn to constantly know that you abide by him, like how the vine, you know, that verse in, I think it's John, in the book of John. And you've got to be always and constantly aware of how you are connected. I think it's like a branch to the tree, right? That connection that talks about how you should be stay rooted to Christ. And when that connection is always clear and you know and confident that you are, that's how rooted you are to Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean because you're rooted, you have clarity and that everything will be fine. But again, it brings the peace and the obedience from you that teaches you that you know that you rely on the steps he will bring forth. But at the same time, you don't just sit there lazy or sort of just, I mean, I think faith is actually action. I also think that equally so, faith is also prayer. When you say, I'm looking for a job, and you pray and you're fasting, part of what is missing in that prayer is action, is you emailing the CV or you knocking somewhere else. Sometimes you may not be praying, perhaps, but you're just sending the CVs and you emailing. That, in my view, again, is a form of prayer.
Yes,
in action. You are praying because you went to look for a job. So I feel like we've got to be able to learn to balance these two things. And I think that's probably the best thing anybody can do for themselves at the beginning of the year. Instead of writing long lists with long stories about, I want to do this, I no longer want to do this. And I just make a covenant, I think. Covenants are better than resolutions,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
Because at least you know that you are accountable to God and that, you know, it's just more clinical in my view. You rely on him, but at the same time, you know that you've got to uphold the spirit of excellence because he didn't give you a timid spirit, but gave you the spirit of a sound mind. That's strength, that's power, that's resilience, that's clarity. So you have it. It's been given to you. Of course, you've got to claim it as a promise in the Bible and really actually put it into action. So I think those are some things we're scared to talk about, claiming. But it's a promise in the Bible.
Yeah,
you can claim it. There's absolutely nothing wrong. It's there for you to claim. And I think once you get that understanding, I suppose your actions then follow suit. You understand that this is for me. I can have a sound mind. I can have a sense of clarity in my life and the way I do things. And I think that helps you align and seek direction, because you also know that even in your excellence, if you think you owe that and that you are deserving, it's still with the humility of knowing that, no, but if it's God's will, because I've petitioned to him and I've asked him first. So I think it's the obedience of learning to trust God and presenting to him first the wishes and the plans and the petitions, not write them out first and then live them out when they fail, go back and say, oh, you know, please bless this. Seek first the guidance of those plans to him. Present them to him first. When the path opens, it's because you presented the paths to him first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to get that hierarchy correct. First, start with God. Present your wishes, literally, like tell God as you would tell a friend. Please, please, please make that list to him. You know, I would always say, instead of on paper, he's probably the safest ears that would have that list. And I think there's a way that God always shows you where, even when you didn't have direction, by just mentioning the first step, he then opens up a staircase. I mean, I literally have seen it even in my own life where I start something and I don't even have a clue how it will go on, but I'm convinced that that is the way. And I pray about it for some time. And one day, sometimes I just really wake up and I've got an entire strategy of how I'm going to roll it out. And I think that's what happens sometimes if you just tell God first. He then brings the strategy. You shouldn't be scared to ask God for a strategy, not just ideas, but also the strategy. To go with those ideas. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Our time is fast spent, completely, completely out of time, but I really, really need to ask you this, and a very brief, I know that it may want to take a long response, but just a very brief one. Is it always possible to bounce back?
I think it's always possible to bounce back. I think bouncing back is actually in our nature. God has given us that spirit, that mind. That's why he says, place your mind on not on things of earth, but on things above. Because when you when you align yourself that way, you can always see the bigger picture. And because you know you're God's child, you know that you cannot stay down. You have no choice. And it will happen, by the way, automatically. You'll just find yourself waking up and really just having ideas and wanting to do things, even when you feel like, oh, you know, I was down and out. I don't think I'm worthy, but your body will betray you. You will just do them. If you love writing, you wake up and you write because it's in you. You're passionate. It's in your DNA. Wanting to do and achieve is part of who you are. You will just love doing it. So I think you can. Over time, without pressure, of course.
Yes, definitely without pressure. Well, Jabulile, thank you so much for your time. Always, always a pleasure to have you here on AWR. Blessings to you and have a great, great afternoon. Feather.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.